Hi, this is Grace.
And Blythe.
And Brie.
And Emily.
And TJ. And and we're here to talk about the Hundred Year War. But first, what do you call, or what do the Norwegians use to decode their messages?
I don't know. What?
Norse code!
Hi, this is Grace.
And Blythe.
And today we're going to be teaching you about the 100 Years War.
The 100 Years War actually lasted 116 years from 1337 to 1453. Following the death of the heirless King of France, Philip IV, in 1328, Philip's nephew, Philip of Valois, is appointed King of France as his daughter's son, Edward III, claims the crown. A war quickly begins to determine the rightful King of France. The French and the English fought sporadically over the course of the war, waging a series of raids and a few major battles interspersed with ineffective treaties. We will be describing the five largest battles of the war in this segment of the podcast.
The Battle of Crécy occurred in 1346. In this battle, an exhausted French army storms the smaller English army, who were positioned atop a muddy hill, firing down upon the French with archers and cannons. The French lost the battle, suffering 15,000 casualties. This battle showcased the extent of the English's advanced weaponry with the first known use of cannons and the use of longbows.
The war was reignited in 1356 by the son of Edward III, the Black Prince of Wales, during the Battle of Poitiers. The English defeated the French in this battle and captured many French soldiers, including the current King of France, Jean II. While detained, the English forced Jean to sign a treaty which gave the possession of much of northern France to England.
The Battle of Agincourt was fought in 1415, under King Henry V of England. The English baited the French to attack them in a fortified position. When the battle ended, the English emerged victorious, suffering only 100 casualties to the French's 10,000. As a result of this victory, the English gained much of northern France, including Normandy and Paris.
In the Siege of Orleans in 1429, the French town of Orleans was dying under an attack by the English. At one point during the siege, the French decided to cease fire for one night. Joan of Arc disagreed and led an assault on the English herself. Many French soldiers followed her into battle and gained the French their first victory in the war.
The Battle of Castillon in 1453 was the last battle of the Hundred Years' War. The French armies captured an English-held fortress at Castillon. The English retreated and crossed the channel back into England, never again to control any of France.
So now you know what happens, but why, and because of whom?
Hi, I'm Emily, and I will be talking about the important people in the Hundred Year War. William of Normandy was the cousin of the King of England. He thought he would inherit the throne when his cousin fell ill and died. Instead, he was passed over by a powerful English lord named Harold. Angered, William then invades England. He defeats Harold and claims himself as King of England. He earns the nickname William the Conqueror. Although William is now the King of England, he also controls lands back in France. When the King of France, Philip IV, died in 1328, there was much controversy over who would succeed him since he had no sons. Philip did, however, have a daughter named Isabella who was married to the King of England. Together, they had a son. On the other hand, the king had a brother who also had a son. Following the death of King Philip IV in 1328, the French nobility selected Philip of Valois, a nephew of the last king through the male line, to become the new king. He was chosen in preference to King Edward III of England, the grandson of the king through his daughter. In 1337, Edward III claimed the title King of France, and the war starts. Edward III's son, Edward IV, known as the Black Prince of Wales, invaded France and reignited the war once again in 1356. The Black Prince's army soundly defeated the French army. The English were also able to capture many French nobles, including the new King of France, Jean II. In 1415, King Henry V of England gained control over Normandy, Paris, and much of northern France. In the truce between France and England, King Henry V of England would marry Catherine of Valois, the daughter of the French king, Charles VI. Charles VII, the king's son, was disinherited and declared illegitimate. This would make Henry and Catherine's children the rightful heirs to the French throne. This angers many French nobles. They think his son is the rightful heir to the throne. In an unexpected coincidence, both King Charles VI and King Henry V unexpectedly die in the exact same year, just months apart. This leaves the infant son of Henry and Catherine to inherit both kingdoms of England and France. Charles VII, of course, is not happy. The war is reignited once again when Charles claims that he is the rightful king of France. The two kings' deaths ushered in the final stage of the Hundred Years' War. Joan of Arc was the daughter of peasants from an area in Burgundy that had suffered greatly under the English. Around age 12, she claimed she had started to have a divine visions and begin to hear voices from God. At age 16, she pleaded with French military commanders to let her meet the Dauphin. Convinced she was sent by God, they took her to meet Charles VII. Equally impressed, and perhaps out of desperation, he allows to accompany the army to Orleans, where the English were sieging the town. Joan of Arc cut her hair and dressed like a boy when accompanying the French army. This was done to hide her identity and to avoid advances from the male soldiers. Her faith and charisma helped lead the French to victory. During the next 5 weeks, Joan led the French forces in a number of stunning victories over the English. Joan of Arc brought inspiration through her charisma and faith. She gave France a sense of national identity and self-confidence. However, she is captured by the English in 1432, leading an attack on Paris. Because of her unnatural dress and claim of receiving visions from God, she is accused of being a heretic, practicing witchcraft, etc. She is found guilty and condemned to death by being burned at the stake. She is only 19 years old. She immediately becomes an enduring symbol of French resistance, unity, and nationalism. Recognizing that she was falsely accused of heresy, witchcraft, etc., the Catholic Church officially cleared her name and made her a saint in 1920. And that concludes the important people of the 100 Years' War.
Who owned the throne? The 100 Years' War. The war started with William of Normandy and Harold Godwinson. William wins the Battle of Hastings and becomes King of England. The war picks back up with Philip IV as the King of France and Edward II as the King of England. As the years went on, King Philip IV had a daughter who married King Edward II. They had a son, King Edward III, who was supposed to be the next King of France, but Philip of Valois, King Philip IV's nephew, took over instead. Over the years, Edward III had a son named Edward IV, or Black Prince of Wales, who defeated the new King of France, Jean II. In the years, a treaty was signed by Henry V, the next King of England, and Charles VI, the new King of France, for Henry to marry Catherine, the daughter of Charles VI. Charles VI had a son, Charles VII, but he was illegitimate, so the son of Catherine and Henry V's son would be the next king of France. When both Henry V and Charles VII unexpectedly died, the son of Henry V and Charles VII squabbled over the throne. In the end, Charles VII becomes the new king of France.
Hey guys, it's Brie. I'm going to teach you guys about one of the most fatal parts of the 100 Years' War. The Black Death, which sounds like a stage mostly everyone went through in middle school, but it's more serious than that. The Black Death was a series of plagues that sprouted from the east in 1347 and spread from south to north.
The three main plagues within the Black Death are the bubonic plague, the pneumonic plague, and the septicemic plague. The bubonic plague caused the appearance of buboes, which were enlarged lymphatic glands which oozed black pus and they bled. This was the most common form seen in the Black Death. The pneumonic plague, the second most common form during the Black Death, caused fevers, coughs, and blood-tinged sputum. Gross, right? This was one of the more deadly forms, with a mortality rate of 90 to 95%. The third type, the septicemic plague, was the most deadly form, but was the least common. This caused high fevers and purple skin patches. This is so deadly that even today, there is no cure. Now, you may be asking, how did this spread? Well, my friends, I have the answer for you. And the answer is rats. Because of the lack of sewage systems at the times, rats ran rampant and carried these diseases and spread it wherever they went, along trade routes, in homes, and on caravans. The only existing doctors at the time fled the country to get away from the plague, so the only answer was to turn to the only brave souls willing to try to cure these diseases. These brave people were called plague doctors. They wore long black robes that met their shoes, hoods to conceal any skin on the head and neck. The spooky part about these doctors, though, was the masks they wore with long beaks and goggles. This was to protect them from the plague and keep them from having to smell the horrible stench of death that was in the air. If these doctors made it through the plague, they were heavily compensated. One good thing that sprouted from this, though, was the art created in this era called the macabre art. This art usually involved devils and skeletons as symbols of death and hell. People started to question the church, for why would a good God allow something like this to happen? People saw answers that the church just couldn't provide, which makes people want to turn away from their faith and the church itself, and they started to blame Jews for this terrible sickness. After all, not only the people, but the economy suffered heavily from this plague as well. The plague ruined the farmlands and stopped food from growing, therefore driving the prices of the food that did exist through the roof, which meant that no one could afford food, and starvation racked the country. By the end of this horrible time, Europe's population had decreased by 2/3. The children also suffered heavily from this series of diseases, not only because of their weaker immune systems, but because of their innocence being removed, because they were exposed to public nudity, chaos, and an abundant amount of death. The children's parents would be there to help and support them through this tragic time, right? Wrong. Parents often cast their children out on the streets with the dead bodies and the horrible acts of others to die. This was a tragic and terrible time filled with death and rebellion. Well, hate to end on such a low note, but thanks for listening to my segment, and I hope you learned something.
Thanks for listening.
We hope you learned something about the 100 Years' War.
Stay tuned for our next episode.